I'm Dr. Jeffrey Chadwick. Welcome to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Many people have said that December 25th is actually a celebration of the sun god in the Roman culture. Has that been co-opted by Catholic Christians so that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th? Dr. Jeffrey Chadwick of BYU will answer that question in just a moment. Check out our conversation.
The other thing that has been not only a tradition in Christianity, and particularly in the oldest Christianity, in Catholic Christianity, but in my mind it's also suggested in Luke, is that Jesus was conceived in March.
Okay.
That the Annunciation to Mary happens in March. And if this is the case, because this is the case, of course, in Catholic tradition, but I also suggest...
Catholic tradition says he was conceived in March?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I also see this in my own mind. I see it in Luke, because it mentions that the angel comes to Mary in the sixth month. And if you're reading in Luke chapter 1, it's easy to say, well, that's the sixth month after the angel appears to Zacharias.
Right.
It's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. There's no doubt that that's part of the way it's counting. But that whole episode where the angel appears to Mary is also a separate pericope. It's a separate literary element within it. And by starting out saying in the sixth month, it's not only dating it to the time since Zacharias and Elizabeth conceived, okay, but it's a saying that in the sixth month of the Jewish calendar, okay, the angel came to Mary. And by the way, we have very nice literary evidence from Philo that the Jews counted the sixth month of their year from Rosh Hashanah, from the fall. Okay? And the sixth month would be the month of Adar, which is essentially about what we call our March. Okay? Maybe early mid-March to early mid-April. And then after that comes Nisan. So that if the sixth month in which the angel appears to Mary is not only the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, but as I suggest, the sixth month of the calendar year, okay, then Mary conceives in March, and 9 months later, the child is born in December.
So do the Catholics believe Jesus was born in December?
Yes.
Really?
That's what, well, you know what Christmas means, Christ's Mass.
Well, I mean,
it's they traditionally date Jesus' birth to December.
See, and I've always heard that the Christmas came about because it was a pagan holiday of the sun god, and it was December 25th was some Roman...
Well, this is certainly true. December 25th was Sol Invictus in the Roman pagan notion. But the Roman Empire became Christian, right, by the 4th century.
Right.
And particularly when Constantine comes in there, Christianity becomes even the preferred religion, okay? But long before that, the notion that Jesus had been born in early winter existed within Christianity. The problem, I think, is that they didn't know just when. And the reason for this is that by the end of the second century, Christianity became totally Gentile rather than Jewish, which was the way Christianity started out. In the New Testament, Christianity is Jewish. If we talk about the Christians in the New Testament as being members, they were Jewish members. The vast majority, 95% of all believers in Jesus were Jewish in the New Testament.
Right.
That's who Jesus preached to. And that's where, Paul and Peter and others that preached among the Gentiles started a work. But it doesn't get rolling and build a big base until after the New Testament story is essentially over. It's in the second century that the church goes from being majority Jewish to majority Gentile. But by the year 200 or so, okay, most Christians don't abide by a Jewish calendar and don't abide by the law of Moses, so they're not worried about the date of the festivals, whether they're in spring or fall or anything like that. And the only thing that is remembered among them, very probably, is that Jesus was born in, what we call winter. early winter. But what date? Even if Jesus had celebrated his birthday, which I bet they did, you know, I mean, we know we know in the New Testament that Herod celebrated his birthday, the son of Herod, Herod Antipas, because for his birthday present, he asked for his daughter and, you know, his stepdaughter to dance for him, right? Remember that? It's Herod's birthday, and the daughter of Salome dances for her, and then he asked for John the Baptist's head. Well, they were celebrating birthdays, okay? And people knew what their birthday was.
Really? Because I've heard just the opposite, that people didn't know when they were born, unless they were royalty, perhaps. But the average person was guessing when their birthday was.
Well, I think that's nonsense.
Really?
Yeah. Of course people know when they're born. Your parents know when you're born. They know what day of the year is. Jews always knew what day of the month it was because you always celebrated the new month and you always knew when the holidays were coming. You know what the days of the months were. That was inherent in the law of Moses, is to know where you're at in any month. Okay? So they would have known. It just didn't. If it got recorded, it wasn't made a really important issue in the Gospels. Okay, but the most important thing is that since Jesus and his parents would have understood his birthday according to the Jewish calendar, let's say he was born on, you know, the 25th of Kislev or something. Okay, a winter month. That doesn't mean anything to Gentiles 200 years later because they don't use those names for the months. Okay, they would just, in general, know that he was born in early winter. And then later on, when you have to, in what's becoming the Christianized Roman Empire, find a way to, you know, celebrate that, you just take an existing holiday. You take a holiday that's in the early winter there, that is the holiday of the birth of the sun god, the sun, right? Sol Invictus. And you say, well, this actually is the day, because we know Jesus was born around this time, that we're going to celebrate his birth. Now, think of this in terms of the way people do holidays. When was George Washington born?
February, I guess. I don't know. It's on President's Day.
February 22nd.
Okay.
But how many people know that? Well, we used to know it when I was going to school, because the 1960s, the 1950s, and 1940s, February 22nd was a federal holiday. And every year, February 22nd, you got off from school. And post offices were closed, right? Because it was Washington's birthday and it was a federal holiday. And it still is, by the way. But the Uniform Holiday Act of 1969 took all federal holidays and moved them to the nearest Monday. Why? So people could have three-day weekends. Okay. So now we don't celebrate Washington's birthday on the day that it really falls. We celebrate it on a Monday because the government decided that was a better day. And by the way, now everybody calls it President's Day, but actually in the language of the law, it's Washington's birthday. It's not the birthday of every president, it's Washington's birthday. Some states, actually, when they legislated their own, will call it President's Day. But federally, it's still Washington's birthday.
Oh.
That, you know, third Sunday of February. Monday. Or third Monday of February. Yeah. But actually, it's supposed to be February 22nd. So if we can move holidays and real birth dates around a little bit for our own purposes, it shouldn't be, you know, unusual to see that ancients could do that and use an already existing holiday, which was supposed to be the day that the sun was born, in order to honor the birth of Jesus, since they didn't know the real day.
So essentially the Catholics co-opted a Roman holiday.
Well, there were no Catholics at this time. This is
the Christian
back at, yeah, this is long before what we call the Latin, you know, yeah. Greek split. But people say, well, is that proper to do? You know, one of the things that's interesting, and one of the reasons this might have worked for them, is that Jewish tradition looked at the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the servant of the Lord, as equated to the rising of the sun. You know, Malachi. Let me just see if I can go back to Malachi, because that's kind of interesting. Malachi chapter 4, right? The day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud and all that do wickedly we stubble. You know, the day of the Lord will burn them up. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So the Messiah here was equated with the rising of the sun. Okay? And that was a symbol in Judaism way back then, and still in Orthodox Judaism today. The symbol of Messiah is the rising sun. Now, you remember when, and I have to go back to Luke for this, when Zacharias is prophesying after the birth of his son, John? This is really interesting. Let me just find it here. There's Mary. Okay, so we got to go to the late part of Luke 1. And so Zacharias is there at the circumcision of John, and they want to name him Zacharias, and he beckons, no, you know, what's his name? And he writes down John, and, well, none of your family's ever been named John. And but the minute that he says it, he's able to speak again. You know? Mm-hmm. And so he goes on and prophesies for the last part of the of Luke chapter 1. And the interesting thing is he prophesies that John, this baby, will one day be the forerunner for the Messiah. And the interesting thing here is that in verse 78, having said that this baby John will be the forerunner for the Messiah to come, it's said in this language. This is Luke 1:78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Day spring. That's a weird old English word that means sunrise. The sunrise from on high will have visited us. And he's talking about the Messiah. So the Messiah and his coming is likened to the sunrise, to the coming of the sun. And so because this was not lost in early Christianity, and in fact in Greek they understood it better than it's rendered here in English, that Jesus is equated by the symbol of the rising sun, both in Malachi and in Luke, the idea of assigning his birth to a day that celebrated the sun's first appearance for a longer day, you know, after the winter solstice, is not inappropriate. Okay, the first day in December when you see the sun in the sky a little longer than it was the day before. Okay. Which is December 25th, according to how the ancients could measure. We can now measure by milliseconds, right? On the weather, they can tell you, well, the sun will be 3 seconds longer.
Yeah,
but December 25th was the first day that the sun was measurably, by a minute, longer in the sky than it had been after the solstice of December 21st. Well, they looked at that as the birth of the sun, and they call it Sol Invictus. But the Christians of the 4th and 5th century apparently thought, that's a great day, since it's already a holiday, to celebrate the day spring from on high.
Hmm.
So I've never had a problem with the idea that taking a holiday that celebrates the sun and then pointing it toward, you know, as the symbol of the real Son of God, I've never thought that that was inappropriate. I look at it as expropriating a pagan holiday and giving it its real meaning, you know. But the fact is that that's less material than everything else, because the model that we're proposing here doesn't insist on December 25th. Okay, all the window of time that Jesus can have been born in, according to our studies, are that he has to have been born sometime in the early winter. Okay, 3 to 4 months prior to Herod's death in early April of 4 BC. So the early winter, especially in the way that we do it in the Northern Hemisphere, really is anywhere from about the end of November to the end of December. And then you're in the midwinter, okay? But it's interesting that from about the end of November to the end of December is also our Christmas season. And I find that interesting because all of the evidence that I've looked at suggests that Jesus was born sometime in that window of time, that 4 to 6 week period that we generally refer to as the Christmas season. And that, to me, makes the holiday bright.
Well, that's interesting. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Jeff Chadwick. In our next and final conversation with him, we'll talk about a myth that he refers to.
This is what I call the myth of the lambing season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, you know, the idea that Jesus was born in the spring was not unique to Latter-day Saints in the 1800s.
Okay.
Others were suggesting this as well. And Protestant writers in America, familiar with freezing North American winters, okay, because they were usually from New England or somewhere like that, couldn't imagine how shepherds could be in the fields abiding by their flocks.
If you'd like a transcript of this conversation, we'll have it out shortly. I'd also like to thank you for those of you who are subscribing on Patreon.com. Please tell your friends. It's really helpful and will help support future documentaries and podcasts such as this. Also, make sure that you subscribe on our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can get our Twitter updates at Gospel Tangents. Also, make sure that you, if you'd like a written copy, go to our Amazon page. You can search for that. I've got a link here, but just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you should be able to find it there. You can also purchase a transcript of this at gospeltangents.com/shop. All of those proceeds will go to me and not to Amazon, so I really encourage you to do that. Make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. I've got a link here, but you can just do a search for Gospel Tangents there. If you'd like to get a transcript, click here. To subscribe here on YouTube, go ahead and click here. And over here, you'll see some of our other videos. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate you listening to Gospel Tangents.